welcome you to the City Council meeting for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, August the 16th, 2016. I currently have 7:06 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. Invocation tonight will be given by Councilmember Bailey, and then the pledge will be led by Mr. Bunker. Mr. Bailey?
Our beloved Father in heaven, we give thee thanks at this time for this opportunity that we have to meet as a community and as friends and family, and we ask thee to please bless us with a spirit that we can have civil discussions and be able to address the issues of the city and to also honor those that have come to be honored, especially the Kelly family. And we ask thee to please bless them that they can recover from their injuries and these things we ask and pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Would the audience please rise and repeat the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next item is the approval of tonight's agenda. And so if someone would like to make a motion to accept the agenda as is or make an amendment, I will be happy to take that now.
I move that we accept the agenda as is.
Okay. Mr. Crawley makes a motion to accept it as is. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded by Mr. Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Okay, public comments. This is when we set aside about a half an hour each meeting to talk about whatever is on your mind. So you have up to 3 minutes in order to come up and talk about anything that may be on your mind. I have three people who have signed up for public comments. Mr. Hansen, are you wanting to come up and speak?
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Kirk?
Yes.
Tanya Edvilson, are you here?
I'm reading her comments.
Her comments will be read in by Mrs. Reese. So, Mr. Hansen, if you wanted to come forth to the mic, you've got 3 minutes, and state your name and address, please.
Ken Hansen at 4091 Hayes Circle. Nothing prepared or rehearsed, simply my support for the council, for the decisions that are made, specifically around the alcohol licenses and the discussions that have happened in the forums and online and here in these meetings. I'm pragmatic. I've been in Cedar Hills for 13, almost 14 years now. I've watched all the battles. It's part of our growth. It's part of what we're doing. It's part of bringing more revenue to the city in a positive and important way that fits with what we're doing here in the Valley. This is a beautiful venue. I don't miss the tent at all. I don't miss the shed at all. This facility is designed to entertain. My daughter's wedding reception was here last year, 2 years ago, excuse me. Seems like last year. While we didn't serve alcohol at that wedding, that does happen at weddings, at receptions. It's one of the things that we need to continue to find ways to support. The people that come to the course need to be able to do the things that they like to do. It's the world we live in. I'm pragmatic about it. I think a lot of people are. I support what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kirk, do you want to speak now or do you want to speak when the item comes up on the agenda? You can do either one.
Can I do both?
Just one.
Just one?
Just one.
Well, okay. What would be your pleasure, Mr. Mayor?
It's up to you. The item that you want to speak on is the last item, number 9.
Okay. I'm Ken Kirk. I live at 4486 Downing Drive, Cedar Hills, Utah. I'm here tonight for one major thing, and that is a paragraph that I read in the Cedar Hills chat room by Councilmember Crawley. One sentence dropped my mouth a little bit and got me here tonight. It says, one option I am considering is a proposal that we dissolve the North Point Solid Waste Special Service District, which could result in a large amount of money being distributed to Cedar Hills City. Having been a prior member of the Board of Directors of North Point Solid Waste Special Service District, being quite familiar with their operations, being involved in it for quite some time, I would like to make sure that the council is going to do their due diligence as they normally do, and I applaud you for doing so, in researching what that option would do. North Point Solid Waste Special Service District provides services to this city and the other cities of northern Utah County in ways that a lot of people don't recognize or recall. There are free passes given by the city offices, two per year I believe still, to the residents of Cedar Hills as being a member of that special service district to take their truckloads of trash down there without charge. 437, I believe, did that this last year, or this up to this year. 473 have done so, and that's from the North Point Solid Waste Special Service District records as of today.
Is that from all cities or just our city?
That's from our city.
Okay.
If we dissolved or withdrew from North Point, where would those citizens take those truckloads of refuge for free? They would be charged not the amount that they're charged now as participating city within North Point, but another amount which is more than that. I can't quote that because I don't know that, but I know it's more. North Point does a lot of good. Every year they sponsor through the county health department a hazardous waste collection point. You got old paint, you got old medicines, you got things, gasoline and oil that's been sitting in your garage, a lot of food storage type items such as kerosene for things that have gone past their shelf life. They accept it. A lot of commercial enterprises will not do so. Now, this all stems around what I am told is an agreement by a new organization called New Era to purchase the Alberta landfill. That would be a good thing, in my opinion, not knowing too much about it, but the dissolvement of North Point is not. The Alberta landfill would be a closer landfill. The tipping fees and the cargo weight fees would be a lot less by the trucking company to transport from our North Point Solid Waste Special Service District to Alberta. So it would save us money if we contracted with them. So that would be fine. But the disillusionment, the dissolving, the withdrawal from North Point is not a good idea. There's a contract that says you can't do it until January 2019 anyway, and that's the time you can give a one-year notice that you're going to withdraw. So it would be 2020, unless you paid a one-year tipping fee based on the last three annual years or costs of your charges to North Point, where you could buy your way out of that one year. So if you want to do that, I would propose that the council maybe postpone this until you're a little bit closer to making that decision. But be informed about what North Point does for the citizens of this community and northern Utah County.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mrs. Reeks, you're going to read Tanya Edvilson's comments, is that correct?
Yes. So she just said, I appreciate you being willing to consider my public comment by email since I am not able to attend the meeting this evening. I would like to express my full support for Cameron Burt's request to sell alcohol at the Grill as was approved by the council on July 19th, 2016. I am notified automatically of the city council agendas and took the time to review the materials. The information provided by the city ahead of time was clear about the changes to the contract at the Grill. I believe that I had enough time to evaluate the information, and if I had any reservations, I would have addressed them with the council at the time. I only wish that I had expressed my support at that time. Our city has voted in a prior election, 2005, to allow alcohol sales in Cedar Hills. We have businesses in the city that already sell alcohol. Mr. Burr is not asking to do anything that is illegal. He has the experience to understand the laws and management required to oversee alcohol sales within his business. I feel that denying a legal business enterprise specific rights that other businesses have in our city is discriminatory. Cedar Hills needs to be more business friendly. We need to be more supportive of our businesses that we have and help them succeed. I appreciate Mr. Burr for his positive actions in our city, bringing the food truck rally to our city and staying positive through an unnecessarily contentious time. Thank you to the council members who support businesses who are operating legally and want to provide services that are desired by consumers.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else that had hope to, would you like to come forward and give us your name and your address, please?
Sure. Ben Ellsworth, and I am at 10632 Bermuda. So we're here in the Cedars. I want to say thank you to the City Council for supporting Cameron's request to sell alcohol. I think actually in the long run it will be beneficial in that it'll allow us to have more control over what is consumed on the course. I think in the long run, it'll make it safer. Golfers will not be going to other places such as Walmart or Hart's to buy larger quantities of alcohol. I think it's a very smart decision, and I appreciate the discussion that's been going on around it. Everybody's had a chance to express all their views, and I believe the council did the right thing. Keep it up and keep supporting the golf course and our businesses. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else that did not sign up but was hoping to speak? If not, I'll close public comments at this time, and we will move on to our presentation recognitions part of the evening. So we had a tragedy happen to one of our own recently, and the Kelly family had a fire in the upper part of their home about a month or so ago, maybe 6 weeks or so ago, and it was mentioned on the news quite a bit. And one night the fire chiefs invited me to go over and meet with Mr. Kelly and the Kelly family for just a few minutes, which I was able to do. And I am so impressed with this family. And so I felt like if there was ever a Cedar Hills champion deserved person, it's Mr. Kelly and his son, Connor. So we set about the process of recognizing them as Cedar Hills champions. So we're going to do that tonight. And we have a resolution that we've created. And then we're going to take some pictures. And we're going to give a small token of our appreciation to both Spencer and Connor. So I'm going to read our resolution and give a few thoughts. Council members can give their thoughts as well. And there's going to be a lot of whereases and then one thereforth. So let's start. Whereas the city of Cedar Hills wishes to fully recognize the heroic efforts of rescuing his son, Connor, and whereas Spencer's unselfish act demonstrated extreme bravery despite life-threatening risk to himself, and whereas Connor's extreme calmness in a horrendous situation and demonstrating great courage on his part, whereas Spencer exemplifies the traits, abilities, and determination that set an example and inspire others in our community, and whereas Connor exemplifies the traits and abilities of a strong young man who has tremendous courage, now therefore be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Cedar Hills, Utah, and on behalf of all residents, hereby proclaims that August the 17th, 2016, be recognized as Cedar Hills Champion Spencer Kelly Day and Connor Kelly Day. With this, the City of Cedar Hills wishes to recognize and sincerely thank Mr. Kelly for his bravery and his son Connor for his bravery and inspiration that he has provided to our community. So I just have one thought, which is that Mr. Kelly did what every father and mother believes they would do. The difference is he actually did it. That is tremendous. And, you know, none of us can imagine what it would be like to, you know, run into a home that's on fire and knowing that your son is there. Sir, I salute you. That, there's nothing like that. So, council member, this time is yours.
I'll start. Mr. Kelly, I haven't met you yet. I applaud you and your bravery. And one thing that, as a fire marshal, one thing that I always teach the kids is once you're out of that house, do not go back in for any reason. But I'll tell you, if that was my house, I would have done exactly what you did. There's not a way in the world that I could have waited. And I can't imagine, you know, I've heard about your burns and all that. I can't imagine you running that gauntlet twice. You know, we go in there and we're fully protected with 75 pounds worth of safety equipment. You were, what I hear, were basically you in your pajamas, you know, in your nightwear. Like I say, I preach the sleep with your door closed, don't go back in. But there's not a way in the world if one of my children was stuck in that house that I wouldn't have done it. I would have So I applaud you. I can't even fathom what you were thinking or going through. So, yeah. And Connor, you got like the world's greatest dad, just so you know. I mean, that is by far the most heroic thing I've ever heard of. So.
Any other comments?
I haven't met the Kellys, but I'm in awe and totally inspired by you. So it's very deserved that we recognize you. Thank you.
And I'll say that we have plenty of bad examples in this world, and it's wonderful to have a good example. And the phrase, greater love hath no man, comes to mind, ..
I would just echo what everyone else has said. Thank you for your example.
Can't add anything more. You're wonderful. Thank you. Mr. Kelly, do you have anything you want to say for just a moment? If not, we'll take some pictures in back.
Yeah. Of course, we can for you. So, certainly, I have a lot to be grateful for. There's a lot of folks who put their lives on the line every single day, who don the clothes of protective gear, who go into situations where we know there is harm. And I appreciate the firefighters, the EMTs, the city facilities that we have. As I've worked with them, Fire Marshal, others, I've just been absolutely impressed with the level of professionalism, the kindness, the caring, the above and beyond that the folks of this city have done. I don't think there's many places in the world that are like this city. The kindness, the generosity from people who are known and unknown has absolutely reset. I don't think that even if I was to serve the rest of my life, I could ever come back to an even level of the service that has been provided to our family in this disaster. So I love Cedar Hills. I did not grow up in this state, but I'm here. I'm here to stay, and I'm grateful that I can be a part of this great city, and I'm grateful that we have the resources to help people out. And I want to call that out. I want to be very clear that this is a great place to be, and I'm grateful for all of you, the work that you do to create the environment. It just doesn't happen to create a place like we have in Cedar Hills. It doesn't happen by chance. It's because we have all created the environment and the homes and the neighborhood that we have, and that is a direct response from the good effort that you guys have done, all the services and things that are part of, fire, police, other things that have created the community that it is. And that's why I'm here, and that's why I want to stay, is because this is a home, this is a community, this is a neighborhood, and I absolutely love it. So thank you for your service.
Thank you. Well said. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you can indulge us for just a couple of minutes, we're going to go to the back of the room, take some pictures with the Kelly family, and then we'll be right back.
Do you want to approve the resolution first?
What's that?
Do you want to approve the resolution?
Oh, yes, of course we do. So I need a motion to approve the resolution that I just read.
I move that we approve Resolution 8-16-2016A, a resolution recognizing Spencer and Connor Kelly as the Cedar Hills Champion for their example of bravery, and for Spencer for rescuing his son Connor from their burning home.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been seconded by Mr. Zappala. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Let's take a quick break. Differently, if you
yeah, I, no, I don't think it's a replacement for metering. I do think that 60% of wasted water is landscape water, and 50% of landscape water is wasted. So when you're talking about water conservation, and you're saying, okay, where are we going to get the biggest bang for our buck, or where are we going to get the biggest savings? It's because, like Chad mentioned, I'm not a landscaper. I have a tree zone or a shrub zone. I'm watering the same as my grass. Right. Well, the fact is I just wasted 20 minutes of 10 days watering on that zone, which is thousands and thousands and thousands of gallons. So this is just going to say, hey, you know, the average user is not going to be as educated as a landscaper. This is going to take that out of their hands and do it for them to where they're watering properly and saving that.
Okay. Are you guys popular, not just you, but your industry, popular in areas like us where we don't meter? I mean, are people are people purchasing these without having to be incentivized?
I'll tell you the two reasons. Number one is they're trying to find a way to slow down the amount of water that's being wasted. And you can't, unless you're going to spend, I don't know how much the meters are they $1,500, $1,000, whatever they are. Unless you get a meter and know exactly how much somebody's using, all you're doing is just kind of saying, well, I hope everybody's being responsible. It just doesn't work. Some people will be responsible. For the 10 people you get that are responsible, you have 1,000 people who aren't. Just because I pay for my water, I use as much as I want kind of attitude. The thing about this system, and I was just going to mention this, the other stuff that's developed on this is that'll be done. It's not too far out on this, is we also have a flow meter that we can get the exact flow into the home. So it works just like a meter, except it will give you the information on our format so that you can see it online. I mean, you can see what's going on with every single meter that's out there. So you could actually turn this into just a straight meter. It doesn't, then you don't have to go to the big expense of these really expensive meters, because this will do the same thing. But that's going to be something that'll be that we release next year. We already have working prototypes. We just need more time with it.
Perfect. Well, and one thing just to add to that, I found it interesting as I was researching California a bit, and I think that's why you guys are having so much success in California, is that when we talk about metering, the whole reason why we've talked about metering is to help conserve water. But California installed meters, and they didn't see a considerable reduction in water conservation. And from what I read, a lot of the reason why is because the water is still cheaper than replacing landscaping. And so people, many residents felt like, yeah, my water bill's more expensive, but I'm still going to continue to water because it's cheaper than ripping everything out and xeriscaping or replacing large patches of grass. And so now, in addition to metering, California is looking to install these controllers or do other things because they didn't see the reduction that metering was supposed to bring. And so that's always been one of my concerns here, is that we install meters and it's expensive, and we still don't see a reduction in water, which was the big reason for doing this. It was to conserve water and to conserve how much is going through our system. And so it would be, to me, I think it would be interesting to do the pilot program to see if you can see a reduction in water without going to the, you know, $2 million expense of metering, especially if the pilot program is relatively inexpensive for us.
Yes. So what kind of increased manpower are we going to need? I mean, a meter, like was mentioned, hey, I've got a meter, and I think Rob mentioned it. I've got a culinary, and I've got a non-culinary, you know, pressurized irrigation. We can send one guy out, and he can read the meters, and I mean, do we need some sophisticated IT guy taking care of this?
It's just back office stuff for us. I mean, viewing what you need, right? There'd be nothing that you'd have to do on the data that's coming out unless you wanted it sorted differently, and then that's just a simple task for us.
So do you guys take care of that then, or do we take care of that?
We maintain all the back-end stuff. You just log in. That'd be
Is there a proposed pilot program out there? Jenny made mention to that. Are you proposing a...
That's what we discussed, was maybe doing a pilot program where we pick a number, whatever that is, 100, less, more, I don't know what that is, and having SkyDrop do that install. The Yucaipa County was a pilot, so they didn't do it for everybody in their area. It was a pilot program, but do that and see what kind of savings water conservation savings we're seeing on those homes, to see if it makes sense to do it on a bigger scale in Cedar Hills.
I mean, I think we could even include portions of our city parks and things. Do you control those or not?
The parks, we can't do it right
that's,
now.
Okay, you're not set. That's too big.
The technology will work. We just don't have the hardware.
Gotcha. Okay. too many stations and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the state, that it's not so much the stations as it's some of the other intricacies with it. We're hoping to have that available next year, but we'll have to see how the development goes this winter.
And the sort of metering thing that you're talking about is in a prototype that could happen next year.
Yeah, we've had it. In fact, you can see a picture of it at the bottom of the slides. I think it's the last slide that shows. It shows it, but yeah, that's something that will eventually be available. But right now, this saves a ton of water. And my one concern I have, and Bart and I and Brandon have been to a lot of city council meetings in different cities, and it seems like we get to a point where like everybody's excited about it, and then we have this, the governor's got this H2O, and everybody, and then it just kind of fizzles out. And I've never understood that, because when we go into California, I guess there's such a need, it's easy for them to just hurry and push it through, which for California is like lightning speed for as fast as it is. I really think that this is, we're at the end of our season. We're getting there pretty soon. We've got extra inventory. We've got our guys here. We're willing to do this for really almost nothing at this point. We would love to see the city do it, because it helps us next year with the stats and then we got one more city that we're with, and then it feels like a city in Utah's really got serious about it, because Weber County has done pretty good.
Yeah, Weber Basin,
and they've done really good with it. But outside of that, it's been really, it's crazy to me that we talk so much about water, but like none of these cities are doing anything about it. And this is a super inexpensive way to fix it.
So, any other questions? Where we are is that we've already approved a budget for this year, which means that every dollar is accounted for and in various accounts. So I'm not saying the council can't do it. They would just have to figure out where to take money from in order to do this, you know, what they want to eliminate in order to do this. And so, you know, I just did the math, and if it's $85 per, based on, you know, Daniel, you're saying the rebate's only 50, not 100. And if we did a 250 pilot program, that's around $21,250. So that's the dollar amount that the council is going to have to think about. I can bring it back in 3 weeks. You guys can have an action item, or you can think about it more. Is there a desire to bring it back in 3 weeks as an action item?
I think so. Maybe you scale it down a little bit, and maybe it doesn't
Then you've got to figure out where you want to take the money from.
Well, let's let our staff look at that, but maybe it doesn't have to be 250, maybe it's 100 people.
Jenny and Daniel, what do you guys think?
I like the idea of doing a pilot program. I still think it makes sense to see what our options are before we go into the millions for a metering system.
For you guys, what's the minimum on a pilot program that you would need to collect the data for a city our size? You know, what do we have, 2,000 homes, 10,000
residents? 2,500
homes. What, I mean, you guys are, I don't know anything about this stuff, so.
Well, I think if you want a decent size pool that you're going to be looking at, it's probably 150 or to 250, somewhere around there. That gives you a lot of users.
And it's spread out through the whole city, or it doesn't matter?
Yeah, I spread out through the whole city so you can see what you're saving up here, what you're saving down there, different soil types. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can do to get a really good feel for what the average savings is going to be.
Okay. I'm intrigued, honestly.
Quick question on that. You mentioned that these other entities went out to bid. What was that bidding process like? What were they bidding?
I don't completely understand, because we just fill out the paperwork, but it usually takes 30 days, and then they just have to put it out to bid, I guess, where it allows other products to come in and do the same pilot. I don't know if it's a state-mandated thing or what it is.
Yeah, I mean, our procurement, we'd have to look at our procurement policy, but I was just curious if you had, like, the bid spec or anything like that you guys filled out.
Yeah, we could look.
You know, the big one was San Antonio. When they came to us, their process was more, it has to do this. And if you can make it do this, you're in. And it was a list of stuff that we never thought of before, and we were cursing this lady the whole time. But once we got done, it was like, this is awesome. we never would have thought of bringing this information up. We never would have thought about having this type of communication with customers. And that was the way they did it. We were the one company when made all the changes that they needed, and that's why they went with us.
Yeah, I don't think we necessarily need exclusivity. We're the only ones that'll come and offer a professional install for you. Nobody else does that.
So okay, I think we know, where you guys are. I think council has just got to decide, and we can do that offline through an email or whatever. But whether we want to bring it back in 3 weeks, but the season's about over, so you've got options. Are you wanting to say something?
Yes.
Go ahead.
You asked me for my opinion as to whether we should
go ahead
bring it back. I'd like to have staff contact the Water Conservancy District and find out if they can do a $100 rebate for us on that many stations, or if they're going to do 50, or if they say no, that size of people, we don't have any more money for this
project. I see Mr. Bronco writing notes. He'll do that. Okay. Any questions from the site?
No. Thank you.
My main concern at this point is how do we implement something like this? I still can't see how we'd get this implemented citywide without causing problems. So that's still my concern. So I'm questioning whether we should even do a pilot, because and the other question I have is, shouldn't we be talking to other companies too to see what they have to offer before we ever do a pilot? Because then we feel kind of obligated to go with the first company. So I think we've got a little research to do before we move forward. I think this has been a good presentation, but I think we still have other things we have to look at.
We're definitely going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to our next item, which is a discussion on the Bay View landfill. And Mr. Bunker, I believe you're going to start this off and then maybe turn some time over to Mr. Crawley.
Mayor and Council, we have had this item on our agenda in the past regarding a discussion on the Bayview landfill and the implications there. And I think there's been a little bit more information gathered on that, and maybe Councilmember Crawley can bring that up. The purchase of the Bayview landfill would be through the New Era Group. And so the North Point Solid Waste Special Service District would be a participating member of that. And they would be represented by two board members on the New Era Group who purchases the Bayview. So Councilmember Crawley, do you have more information from your meetings?
I do, but I come at it from a philosophical standpoint when I talk about that we ought to look at different options, because I do want to read a little bit of what I presented today just on a chat room, because it's really what my thoughts are on this, and I put it out there for our residents to know what I was thinking about presenting today, and I just want to kind of read through that a little bit. So I said, the second scheduled item is a discussion regarding the waste transfer station in Linden, known as the North Point Solid Waste Special Service District. And this is where we dispose of large waste items and green waste from our yard. NPSWSSD is managed by a board consisting of members of the surrounding cities and community. Cedar Hills has one board spot, which is my assignment this year. Special service districts are interesting because their activities are known even less than those of city governments. It is viewed by some as largely unknown additional layer of government. I'm sure there are many cases where these special service districts are necessary and appropriate. However, the longer I'm on this board, the less necessary and appropriate I view it to be. Let me explain. As I've documented in the past, I'm against unnecessary government expansion and spending. I also believe that the free market system handles business much more efficiently and effectively than government does. There are many services that the government must do because it would be impractical for private industry to handle the particular service. However, the waste management industry is one in which it has been proven that private industry can handle things just fine. I have read an article where it was documented that Denver has lower per ton waste cost because they have gone entirely to private industry for handling of waste, unlike Utah. In Utah, we have companies like Waste Management, IRL, Republic, etc. They can handle all waste management needs that cities have. However, some government leaders have chosen to try to form a coalition to better compete against these private industries. An additional level of government was created with a group called New Era. The proposal is that this special service district be represented by a couple members from several other special service districts, including North Point. And New Era would buy a struggling landfill in South Utah County and commit to all of the waste from its entire operations to be committed to this landfill. And after talking and researching this option, I am not comfortable with it for the following reasons. It further entrenches government into an industry where government intrusion is not necessary. It hurts the private industry corporations that have been handling the waste for our cities. And I mentioned that our waste goes to North Point's transfer station and goes off to Twilla as part of Republic. And it creates additional bureaucracy that is further away from the people in which it is serving. And I believe that New Era would have very little influence from North Point or and especially from our city. And it will require large investment from North Point. So the solution that I thought would be worth bringing up, since we're talking about buying this south area, I thought it would, you know, if we're talking about this big of change, we ought to talk about the other end of the spectrum of should we go into deregulation. And I've seen the government deregulate a lot of industries. One of them that I was in for quite a while was the Yellow Pages industry. And when they deregulated, then costs went down. There was a lot of good things that came from that. In this case, I believe that overall we could see cost reduction even for our waste if their deregulation occurred like it has happened in Denver. But one benefit that we could have is there's $4.5 million on the balance sheet at North Point of cash and securities. And there's also $7.5 million worth of fixed assets, and the sale of that to one of these other entities could bring in a lot of cash and could be distributed to the cities. So I'm not saying that I've researched enough to know that's the right thing to do. I'm saying I've thought about it and researched enough to know that it could be an option. And so my proposal was that I bring up that we ought to at least discuss this in the board meeting, add it as an agenda item to this board meeting coming up on the 22nd with North Point. And that's, I just wanted to bounce it off of the city council members and see if they thought that it was worth discussing this as a potential alternative option at that meeting. And of course, if it gained any traction at that meeting, there'd be a lot of research before anything was done. But I think that we ought to look at both sides, you know, further entrenching ourselves into the industry and hurting these businesses. One of the executives of Republic is in our city, and he's called and talked to me several times saying that this hasn't been handled right, and the South Utah Valley area, they talked about going out to bid to these different entities like Republic, and all of a sudden the talk stopped when New Era came in, and they didn't feel like there was enough talk given to them or consideration given to them to allow them to make an offer on it, and the talks just stopped and it went dead, and they just felt that it wasn't handled in a way that was fair to them. But besides that, I'm not here to, you know, really fight for the rights of Republic or anyone else. I just believe that's one of my core beliefs in government, is that private industry, free market system, democracy, you know, the American way is that we move out of the way and let businesses run. And the alternative is we keep entrenching ourselves further into industries where the free market can handle it. And that's not where I want to see America or Cedar Hills or Utah or, you know, any government go. So that's why I think it's worth that we at least talk about this and bring it up as an option to consider at this meeting. So that's my presentation. I'd like to hear what people think about it. One thing I'll add real quick, too, I know that Ken Kirkwood got up and spoke, and I understand that there will be opposition to this way of thought, especially for those that are close to the situation or may know some of the people that operate that. There is a possibility that a company that came in may not offer a job to one or two employees, and that could be really hard for them. So I know there is always a tough downside when you deregulate, too. So there's pros and cons, but anyway.
So I'd like to know if there's been any research done by North Point Solid Waste on the pros and cons of joining in on this effort. And if so, can we have a copy of it?
Of joining in with New Era?
Yeah.
Yes, I can forward that.
So we've heard your side of it. I want to know what North Point Solid Waste has collected and see the presentation materials on that.
Yep, I can forward that to you guys. That'd be great.
What would we have representation on this new...
North Point would have two members on the board of New Era, and
from Cedar Hills?
No. Right now they've already chosen two that there would be, and one of them's from Highland. I can't remember what other city that representative would be.
Vineyard.
Vineyard. Okay.
Yeah. Vineyard and Highland would be our reps.
Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to point out that I think you mixed two issues together. You talked about deregulation and privatization. And I think what you're advocating is privatization. There's not going to be any deregulation. These landfills are still regulated by the EPA.
That's true. Yeah. Good point.
Okay. Any other questions?
For me, I'd like to just hear more research. I mean, from what I heard from Ken, you know, I talked to Rob a little bit yesterday when he talked to me about it. And, you know, philosophically, there's some things I agree with of what he's proposing, but I didn't realize we're only a 4%. I mean, 4% of the
3.3.
I mean, I don't think we're getting a lot of traction with those percentages. But you know, I'm willing to look at all options.
Are you also on the board?
No. Oh. Just Rob is.
Oh, just Rob. But you attend the meetings.
So continue your conversations with them. Let us know.
Okay.
And so, you know, Cedar Hills is not going to withdraw from this. But if the cities that make up the board and the county decide as a group that they should look at some options, I would endorse that.
Right. And just for the record, too, I went through my whole post and I didn't see anything where I was speaking for Cedar Hills. So I hope that it didn't come across that way, but I didn't see that. So.
Okay.
And can I have a question for David? You were at the meeting, right? So what's North Point's justification for doing this? Are they thinking by buying into the landfill they're going to reduce our tipping fees? Is that the idea?
Yeah, overall cost. So I haven't been to the board meetings.
Okay.
The city managers have gotten together to discuss this issue because it directly affects every city that's a participant in North Point.
And the advantage they're pushing is, hey, this will reduce our tipping fees because we cut out the middleman. Now we have a stake in owning the landfill where we dump.
That's the result of the study, I believe, that was done. I haven't seen the study.
You haven't seen
it.
See,
they kind of held that study back. I it wasn't distributed to the city managers.
I think. Well, I have been given that really through a lot of it was through executive session. A lot of the information I've been given. So I will ask them what is free to pass on to the rest of the city council.
Yeah, it seems only fair if we're being asked to join in this effort that we see a study that was done on its economic viability.
Now, part of the concern I have is they have different amounts that we would save based on which entities joined in, and there are a few concerns that Maurice DeMille brought up with me on a phone conversation he had with me, and he said that part of the problem is they're basing it off of the current volume that North Point's getting, which a lot of their volume does come from Republic. Republic gives North Point 25-30% of its business right now, and of course North Point would not run it through our North Point if North Point wasn't going through them in the end, if we were sending it off to the South Valley. So they were saying that they'd be forced to build a transfer station in Utah County that would compete against North Point, because we wouldn't be working together with them anymore. They have a lot of business here. In fact, I was just taking a walk past my church, and Republic is the company that has the roll-off or trash bin there, and that would stop going through North Point, and that would go through a new transfer station they would create, that Republic would create, and then send down to Tooele to their landfill. So it would create a new bit of competition, because then Republic would be fighting for other business that they currently are getting already through different entities going to Tooele. They'd be fighting for more of the pie. So we don't, just because we're going to join with South Valley and maybe other places, doesn't mean 100% of our waste will go into the South Valley area. So the tipping fees may not quite be as low as they are projecting, but it's all volume based. I don't doubt that if a whole bunch of cities got together or districts got together and you know, put all the resources together to get the lowest cost, I don't doubt that we could get a lower cost in the long run. I guess I do doubt a little bit, because I always doubt government efficiencies, but theoretically it should be able to reduce the costs, the tipping fees, with barring any unforeseen problems. But anyway, so there's pros and cons, but I think that you could pick almost any industry and say, hey, if all the cities and counties and states got all together and owned that industry, then they could lower the cost. I think you could do that with any industry, but that's called socialism. So anyway, that's what I think we've got to be careful of.
One of the concerns that I have on, really, I haven't seen the study, and if you can send that out, that would be great. I'd love to read through that. But the biggest concern for me is risk. And in researching landfills, there's a lot of risk, and it's severely regulated by the EPA. And, you know, just going through our stormwater regulations for the city and how the EPA is increasingly adding more and more to our plate and requiring more and more from the cities, our costs are going up all the time. So I had a chance to talk with Beth Holbrook, who's our representative from Waste Management. And her opinion, you know, her opinion is, if the city wants to participate in that, fine. If we don't, that's fine with them too. They still just want to be our hauler. They still want to just collect our trash and take it to the transfer station, regardless of where that is. And so they're okay either way. But she is also a city council member for the city of Bountiful, and they own their own landfill up there. They're the only city up in Weber County that's left that has their own landfill. All the other communities went together on an incinerator project. So, but Bountiful didn't join because they already had their landfill. They've had several dump fires where the landfill actually catches on fire. It emits toxins and all kinds of pollutants into the air. They've been on notice by the EPA several times. They're always fighting that. New regulations are coming. As a council member in Bountiful, that's one of the things that she is concerned about as well. And that would be something that if we were to join and buy into a landfill, then we're part owner of the liability and the risk. And I don't know if that was specifically studied in this report that the board has, but that is definitely one thing that I would consider is the unintended consequences long term. What happens in 50 years when the liner, or 100 years when the liner of the dump of the landfill deteriorates and all of a sudden we're leaching into the groundwater some bad stuff, and that becomes a Brownsville cleanup remediation site? That can't be cheap. Those are the kinds of things that you kind of have to look at long, long term. And so there's risk in owning things like that. Now, I'm not saying we couldn't tip cheaper right now, but I just don't know if those big picture items were discussed or clarified in the study. I don't know.
Like most services we do, if we don't go into the business of doing something that the private industry can do, then we just pick the lowest bid or the best service or whatnot, and it's not something that we have to really become an expert in a field that we're not experts at. So that's the way I see it, is if even if we got stopped using North Point or, you know, dissolved North Point, then all we have to really decide is who's the best service provider. And I am skeptical that the best service provider for the long run would be a government-run organization, just by history showing that it's not usually that the case.
Thank you. Can you pass your mic down to Mr. Shaw?
Yep.
Thank you, Mayor. Just wanted to clarify one issue. Mr. Crawley made mention that there were documents shared in exec session, which underground would be classified as therefore protected records. There's a provision under ground law where those protected records can be shared with any governmental official so long as you each agree to maintain the protected classification of those records. In other words, don't go out and share them.
Very good.
Good.
Okay. Any other questions? I'll take a motion to adjourn. I have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much.
Because he was saying, I'm not sure you can share it.